Philippians chapter 1, and this morning we want to read verse 12 down through verse number 14. Verse 12 down through verse number 14. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord God, we pray that you would just take the very words of God, your word, and through your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and our lives this morning, that our faith might be strengthened, we might be encouraged and challenged. And Lord, we would just look upon the things of today and tomorrow and our life and our service for thee, and especially the gospel of Jesus Christ with your perspective, not ours. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and Paul's in prison again. He was in prison, and that was actually how the church started. And now he's in prison again. And things are not going as well as Paul would hope right now. He's not only in prison, he's not just in a house arrest, but now he's in bonds. And his trial is coming up close, and he's expecting by faith that God is going to deliver him, but he also knows there's a possibility that he could die. So Paul's in a difficult spot, you might say. Circumstances that no one would wish or hope to be in. And yet, as I read through the book of Philippians, I'm encouraged and excited because his perspective is just a perspective of faith and hope and joy. Totally different than what you'd expect. And I tell you what, he's a type of man. He's a type of Christian. Boy, I'd like to hang around him. He's in prison, he's in bonds, and he's happy and rejoicing and excited about what God is doing. That's why I say in these days, folks, we have to have a smile upon our face. And we have to look at things from God's perspective, because Paul is looking at it from God's perspective. And he says, you know what, I'm not discouraged, I'm not defeated. Man, he says, I'm excited about what God is doing. Wait a minute, Paul, you're in chains. You're bound. Your hands are bound. Your feet are bound. You're in prison. He says, yeah, but you know what? I'm excited. In fact, in verse number 13, he speaks about his bonds, but he puts it into a different perspective. He says, my bonds in Christ. My bonds in Christ. And you know, as we begin to look at this, I got to thinking about it. Why is he so excited? Why is his perspective so? Because, you know, Jesus Christ said this. Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 8 and verse number 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, and when we look at it from God's perspective, we can look at things in our life and we can say, man, the circumstances are terrible. Paul had terrible circumstances. He's in bonds. He's bound, physically bound. Sometimes we're physically bound. Sometimes we're physically bound with infirmities. Sometimes we're physically bound with circumstances. But you know what? Even though we might be bound in an earthly sense, we are still free in Christ. We're still free in Christ. You see, I wrote some things down by way of introduction, by the way, because this is just such an encouraging passage of Scripture. You see, you can bind my physical body, but you can't bind me. Think about it. You know, and I'm sure that some of these thoughts must have been going through the mind and the heart of Paul. You can bind my physical body, but you can't bind me because I'm free in Christ. My soul is free from the judgment of sin. My heart is free from the burden of sin. My conscience is free from the guilt of sin. My account is free from the record of sin. And my future is free from the wrath of sin. Amen. So I'm free. Put me in stocks, but you know what? I'm free. You know what else? You can bind me, but you cannot bind Jesus Christ. Amen? You can physically restrain me. You can put me in a jail cell. John Bunyan was put in a jail cell, and he wrote one of the greatest Christian pieces of literature ever written. Number two to the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress. One of the best sellers. You can bind me, but you can't bind my Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? They tried, didn't they? They tried. They tried to arrest him. They did arrest him. They afflicted him. They persecuted him. They put him on a cross. They killed him. They put him in a tomb. They put a big stone. And guess what happened? He arose from the grave, won the victory over death, pushed back the stone, walked out in this world and went back to home to heaven. Amen? See, you can bind me all you want, but you can't really bind me, and you can't bind my Savior. And by the way, you can't bind the Word of God. Think of how much Satan has tried over the years to bind the Word of God. I mean, just go back in history and think of how great an effort the devil has tried to stop this from going forward, and he has failed all the time because the Word of God cannot be bound. Paul's in prison. Paul's purpose is to preach the gospel. And you can, you know, Paul would say this, you can bind me, but you can't bind the Word of God. Days of Jeremiah, right? I mean, one of my favorite passages of Scripture is in the book of Jeremiah. And that's why, man, God says, this is my word. You can try and mess with it all you want, but it's my word, not your word, not the words of men, and it can't be bound. What happened in the days of Jeremiah? They bring the scroll to the king. They bring the word of God to the king. King doesn't like it, right? King doesn't like it. He gets upset, takes his penknife, right? Cuts it up, throws it in the fire, says, there, done with that. You know what God does? God says to Jeremiah, hey, write it again. Write it again and bring it to the king again. You know why? God says, you're not going to mess with my word. You're not going to stop my word from going forth, right? In the days of the early church, men were beaten. They were cast into jail. What did God do? God simply busted the jails wide open, earthquakes, busted the doors open, says, hey, go back to preaching the word of God because it can't be bound. Even to this day, men and women have given their lives to the enemies of God's word, and yet you see the word of God still going forth in great power throughout the world. You see, the word of God is the eternal word of God, and it's settled in heaven, and it's given by God, and it cannot be bound by earthly men. So number one, you can bind me physically, but you can't bind me spiritually. You can bind me, but you can't bind my Savior. You can bind me, but you can't bind the Word of God. And number four, maybe, all right, by way of introduction, you can bind me, but you can't bind and stop God's work. You cannot stop God's work. Men on this earth have no power to stop the work of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ said, I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you know, you may stop one man. You put one man in prison. Look, they put Paul in prison. And guess what? He says, there's more out there preaching the gospel now than when I was out. Right? You can put one man in prison. You can stop one man. But God has a host of others throughout the world to carry on the work. You can restrain my... Listen, you can bind me. You know... Man, I got fired up about this. You can bind me, but you know what? I can still pray. Right? No earthly man can stop a believer from crying unto God. Think about that. They can cut your hands off so you can't write. They can cut your feet off so you can't walk. They can stop up your mouth so you can speak. And you can still call upon the God that can move heaven and earth to do his will. Wow. You can restrain my physical activity, but you can't restrain my prayers from reaching the throne of God and moving heaven and earth. You can't stop. Listen, you can shut me up in prison, but you can't stop God from working in my life and working through my life. Think of how many testimonies of people that were put in prison, and yet so many souls were saved as a result of the testimony of people that were imprisoned. This is just the introduction, by the way. All right? Genesis 50, 20. You know, I'm excited. You know why I'm excited this morning? I gotta stop and tell you. Because, so, Thursday night, I went to sleep. And I said, I purposed Friday morning. I said, Lord, when I get Friday morning, I'm shutting off all the phone. The phone's not going to be on Friday. And I said, I'm just going to study and get ready for Sunday. So I get up Friday morning. I'm all excited. I'm going to study. And I get studying. Within 2 hours, the message is done. And I said, wow. I said, that's great, Lord. Then I said, oh, no. Why is the message done so quick? What else do you have? Well, a little later, I get a text from Donnie. He says, I got COVID. And, hey, it's all about perspective. Now, I hope he's doing well, but you know what? I says, Lord, I got more opportunities to preach. Amen? So I just got back in the Word of God, got more excited. I said, Lord, you want me to preach even more Sunday than I was originally going to preach. So I'm fired up this morning. But anyways, Genesis 50, and someone sent this and reminded me of this, and I'm thankful for it. Joseph, right? I mean, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. But not only that, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much in this place. And you know, that's the perspective that Paul has while he's in prison. Paul's in prison. He doesn't know if he's going to get out of there. He doesn't know if he's going to die. He doesn't know if he's going to be executed. And he said, but you know what? You meant it for evil. God means it for good. And more people are hearing the gospel and more people are getting saved. And he says, that makes it a great thing. Because you see, Paul is more excited and more encouraged as he sees the gospel going forth, even as he is in bonds. You know why? Goes back to verse number 1. What did Paul say he was? Paul said he was a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's why his perspective is so wonderful, so amazing, so incredible. He says, I'm simply a servant of Jesus Christ. And the servant is not above his master, but the servant delights in the will of the master being done and accomplished. And that's what Paul was seeing happening. Paul says, I'm simply a servant. And the will of my master is being accomplished in a greater way. And he says, so I'm excited. The servant delights and rejoices in the master's will being done. And Jesus said in John 8:36, if the Son thereof shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so folks, listen, times in this life, you're going to feel like you're bound. You're going to feel, there's a lot of people feel like they're homebound right now. But Jesus Christ isn't bound. The Word of God is not bound. The working of God is not bound. And the will of God is not bound. And so this morning, I want us to look got to find my notes here. I want to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want us to see three things, three things about the gospel this morning, and they're exciting. The first one is Paul's in prison, but you know what Philippians is all about? It's a gospel praise. It's a gospel praise. You know, when Paul was in prison the first time in Philippi, what happened? What was going on at midnight? He's in prison, right? What was happening at midnight? Someone tell me, what was happening? Hey, he was singing and praising the Lord, right? They were praising God. They're in prison. They're bound in prison. They're in stocks, right? They had been beaten. They had been thrown into the prison. Their hands and feet were in stocks, and they're praising God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 40, he puts a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And you know, we need to have a gospel praise upon our lips in these days. Man, it's exciting. We need to have a gospel praise upon our lips. Just walk around and tell people, hey, God is good. And they'll look and tell them why. He saved me. He loved me. He saved me. He's keeping me. He's taking me home. He's good. God is good. Get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Listen, go over to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, I thank my God. And why? He says, I thank my God for the fellowship that we have in the gospel from the first day until now. And then in Philippians chapter 4, he's reminding these folks about the most important thing in their life. What's the most important thing in your life? Well, let me tell you what it is, all right, in case you're wondering. Okay, it's in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 3. Here's the most important thing in your life. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Hey, listen, that's something to praise God about, amen? That my name is written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. Amen? And Paul's reminding the folks, listen, there's a reason to praise God. It's called a gospel. It's called a gospel. And he says, there's a gospel praise that causes our heart to sing at midnight in a prison, in Rome in a prison, or in a ship. Listen, Paul was excited all the time. He was rejoicing all the time. Okay, in Philippi, he's singing and praising God. Skip ahead a number of chapters, right? He's on a sinking ship in the middle of a storm, right? And Paul says, just, you know, rejoice, right? He says, be glad. He says, God's going to take care of us. And now he's in prison again. Doesn't know where he's going to get out of here alive. And he says, listen, I'm rejoicing. And he says, number one, I'm rejoicing because my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. My name is, you know, I just started going back. John 3:16, Galatians 2:20. You know, for God so loved the world, right? God so loved the world. But it gets better than that. What did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? He loved me. He loved me. You know, I'm thankful that God's love is boundless. That God's love is boundless. That God loves every soul. Because if I didn't believe that God loved every soul, and I believe something like God would pick and choose who he loved, I'd have to wonder if God really loved me. Paul says, hey, he loved me. Amen. Hey, he loved you. Right? You talk about boundless love. I'll tell you what boundless love is. He loved you. Right? You aren't worthy of being loved. Let me just tell you some basic facts this morning. I'm not worthy of being loved, right? And yet God loved us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. Not only is he rejoicing in God's love, but you know what? God's will. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have? Go there. I want you to read this next verse with me, this next word. 1 Timothy 2:4. You know, when you read the Word of God in its simplicity and you take it right as it's read, boy, things become very clear, right? God so loved the world. Paul says, boy, he even loved me, right? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. We'll back up a little bit. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, what's that next word?
All.
All right, let's say it out loud.
All.
All. How many?
All.
All. How many?
All. All.
One more time. How many?
All. All.
How many men would God have to be saved?
All.
All. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Aren't you thankful that when you go into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can look at this one, you can look at that one, and you can say, hey, listen, I know something. God wants you to be saved. Right? Not only that, go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3. Not you, Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And if there's ever another Peter shows up, I wouldn't know what to do. 2 Peter chapter 3, okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at it. Hey, think about this one. Not only did God love you, Not only did God want you to be saved, but God was patient with you, right? God was patient. Look what it says in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Boy, if there's someone that knew this, it was Paul, right? You think of what Paul thought about this, the long-suffering, the mercy, the patience of God. All those days and all those weeks and all those months and all those years that Paul persecuted the church of God and ripped the church of God to shreds and put people in prison and put them to death. And yet he says, God loved me, God wanted me to save, and God was long-suffering toward me. Paul would have said, you know what? He should have snapped his fingers and cast me to the pit of hell. But he loved me. He wanted me to be saved. He was long-suffering. All right, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. Here's the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, and this was the purpose of Jesus Christ. This was his purpose. His purpose was to come and to seek and to save my soul, to save sinners. And Paul says, listen, I was the worst. I was the worst. But he came to save sinners. All right, go to Luke chapter 15. Because then when you think of Paul's testimony, when you think of your testimony, Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, we have the parable, you know, the verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They said, you know, what's he doing? He's hanging around the sinners. Well, what was his purpose? His purpose was to seek and to save the lost, right? And look what it says. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? You know, you think of the testimony of Paul. God's not only long-suffering, but God's not sitting there. The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking the lost, right? He's long-suffering, but he's also active in seeking the lost. And he's using Paul, he's using you and me, but he's seeking the lost. And he says, listen, he's seeking that one lost sheep. And Paul would say, that was me. But go down in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And when he found it, he puts it on his shoulder, brings it home and rejoices. Because look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And Paul says, there's a reason to rejoice, because not only did the Lord Jesus Christ seek me, but he saved me. He saved me. Tell you what, folks, man, do us well to just go back and just stop and think and just say to ourselves, I don't care what's going on in this life. I don't care what's going on in this world. I don't know what is going on. I know this. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and I am saved. You know, Paul could, well, for sake of time, you could go back and read Paul's testimony, but go over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Oh, we got plenty of time. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, Boy, I tell you what, you read Revelation chapter 20, and all of a sudden, you get excited and glad for your salvation, do you not? Right? You get excited, man, your heart just starts thumping because you're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you. You're thankful that God wanted you to be saved. You're thankful that God is long-suffering. You're thankful that Jesus Christ had a purpose to come to seek and to save that which is lost. You're thankful that Jesus Christ was seeking. You're thankful that he was saving. And you're thankful that you are the one that is saved. Boy, I tell you, all of a sudden your perspective starts to change, doesn't it, right? Right? Because things might look bad, but you know what? Things are good. Things might look bad, but in reality, things are good because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because look at what it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And that could have been any one of us in this room. This could have been us, except for the gospel, right? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before. And I saw Douglas Meter standing before God. And the books were opened. And all of a sudden, the book of life was opened. And the dead, Douglas Meter was judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And Douglas Meter stands before God, and the books are open. And all of a sudden, God begins to look and reveal and remember and list every wicked thing that I've done against God, every thought, every word, every deed, every offense that I've committed against the holy God. And he says, guilty. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And Douglas Meter would be cast into the lake of fire. And you would be cast in the lake of fire. Except for this. That my name is found written in the Lamb's book of life. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all sin. And one day I heard the gospel. And one day I believed in my heart that Jesus died for me. And one day I said, Lord, please save me. And God took a pen. And he didn't misspell my name either. And he wrote it clearly so that it could be clearly read. Aren't you glad? You know, you look at how these doctors write these days, right? It's a wonder how you get the right medicine, right? But they scribble and everything. But you know what? In heaven, there's a book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And that book's going to be opened one day. And you know what? My name is going to be read out loud. Douglas Scott Meter. You know what? Because I trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior. Boy, isn't it any wonder that hymn writer wrote that song? There's a new name written down in glory. Amen. And it's mine, and it's mine. There's a new name. By the way, Justin, that's the song we're singing at the closing. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, and it's mine. And the white-robed angels tell the story, right? A sinner has come home. And Paul, as he writes the book of Philippians, man, it's a gospel praise. It's a gospel praise. But you know what? There's something else that flows flows from Paul's words that are written. First of all, there's a gospel praise that can't be bound in Paul's heart. He's just gonna sing it. He's just gonna talk about it. He's just gonna tell it. He says, he saved me. He saved me. I was a chief of sinners. I'm going down that Damascus road, and all of a sudden, Lord Jesus Christ appeared in front of me, and he says, he saved my soul, changed my life completely. And he says, you know what? There's something else. Something else you see in all of Paul's writing. Not only a gospel praise, but a gospel promise. A gospel promise. Look, go back to Philippians chapter 1. A gospel promise that cannot be bound. You know, once again, you can bind a man, you can put him in prison, but you can't stop God. And you know what? There's a gospel promise. What did Jesus Christ say in John chapter 14 and verse number 3? I will come again. Right? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may be also. And you know what? No man can stop that from happening. Jesus Christ is coming again. And you read through all of Paul's epistles. I mean, it's just there all the time. Look what he says in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what he says? There's a coming day, folks. There's a day coming when Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming for me. He's coming for the church. He's coming, folks. Right? Go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 13. Not verse 13. And verse 23. All right. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Hey, listen, it's going to be a better day. Amen. It's a coming day, but it's going to be a better day. Go to chapter 2 and verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice in the day of Christ. It's going to be a rejoicing day, right? Because you know what? When we're caught up together in the clouds to be with the Lord, listen, there's going to be a multitude going with us, right? There's going to be a multitude going with us, right? It's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a joyful day. No, Philippians chapter 3, it's going to be a glorious day, right? For our conversations in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Wow, I tell you what, it's going to be a glorious day, isn't it? Amen? I'm not going to need any coloring for my hair. I don't use any anyways. All right? Thought about it once. Allison said, no, 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 no. All right? I thought, you know what? What if I came in one week? That hair culling from men, right? You know, I actually thought about this. And I have a wife that has good sense, right? And it's a good thing she does. You imagine how shocked you would be if you came in some Sunday morning and here's your pastor all looking like he was 20 years old, right? Well, you know what? There's coming a day, folks, when we're going to be glorified and we're going to be changed. You talk about a glorious day, right? Not only outside, but inside, okay? Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, actually, after he says their names are written in the book of life, rejoice. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he says, okay, rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's in the verse previous. But then look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men because the Lord is at hand. He says, rejoice because you're saved, and rejoice because the Lord could come at any moment. It's a nearing day. You know, listen, here's how our perspective ought to be. Every day we live, we are one step closer to being in glory. Amen? You know, kids get all excited when they look and they, you know, my birthday's coming up, it's getting closer. Hey, we should be excited because our day is getting closer. Without going into them, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, he's speaking to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, we are waiting for his son, which has delivered us from the wrath to come. He says, it's a day we are waiting for, because we are going to be delivered from the wrath to come. He says, we have been delivered. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's not only a day we're waiting for, it's a day we're listening for. It's a day we're listening for. You know, I don't know about you, but we live in East Lyman, and I think it's the first Wednesday of every month. You know, we get this sound that comes across the telephone poles, you know, to just warn us in case there's something happens down the nuclear plant, right, Joe? I guess it is, right? And so, you get all this, you know, it's at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, first Wednesday of every month, and the horns are going off, and then they, you know. Hey, listen, you know, I'm not listening for that. I'm listening for the trumpet. Amen? Amen? That thing catches me by surprise all the time. You know, all of a sudden I'm sitting there, you know, but I'm listening for the trumpet, for the shout, right? Okay, Titus 2:13, he says, not only do we listen for it, we look for it. We are looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, and we love it. We love it. We love his appearing. And so Paul says, you know what? There's a gospel praise that cannot be bound. And second of all, he says, there's a gospel promise that cannot be bound. He says, you can't stop it from happening. Listen, it hasn't already happened because you know what? I'm still here. Amen? Amen? All right? It's not going to take place during or after the tribulation because Jesus Christ has promised me that I've been delivered from the wrath to come, and that's the wrath of the Lamb. Boy, if there's one reason why we know the rapture of the church takes place before the tribulation, not during it, not in the middle of it, and not after it, it's because the promise of God is this, that I've been delivered from the wrath of God upon sin. And Revelation chapter 6 says it's a day of the wrath of the Lamb. It's sure. It could be today. And you know what? Doesn't matter where you are. You can be in a hospital bed. You can be in a prison cell. You can be in your room. I mean, you can be at the doghouse, right? Doesn't matter wherever you are. When Jesus comes, guess what? Nothing down here is going to prevent you and me from going up. Amen? And you know what? Jesus said, I come quickly. Last words in the Bible. Jesus, I come quickly. And what is the response? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Right? I am so glad. I am so glad. You know, I'm listening for those words that are spoken in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Come up hither. And I can't wait. Amen? When the bonds of this earthly life will be loosed. And what's that song? I'll fly away. Amen? Yes. And we're going to fly away and we're going to be in glory. Amen? So, number one, there's a gospel praise that cannot be bound. Number two, there's a gospel promise that cannot be bound. You know what? There's one more thing. There's a gospel progress that cannot be bound. There's a gospel progress that cannot be bound. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to build my church. And he's not talking about buildings. He's not talking about programs. He's talking about souls being saved through the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell can't stop it. And you know what? When you look at it, that's what Paul is writing about in Philippians chapter 1. You're saying, oh, are you actually in Philippians chapter 1? Yes. All right. Philippians chapter 1. Because Paul says, my bonds in Christ, they've fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren, Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, you just think of the testimony of Paul and the gospel, all right? I mean, it starts with his own personal testimony. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12 down through verse number 17, Paul gives his personal testimony. And he says, it's by the mercy and love of God. I was the chief of sinners, and one day he saved me. You know, he talks about being on that road to Damascus. And he shares his testimony. And it was a personal testimony. Goes on to this. Then God begins to use him. And here's how the gospel progresses. God saves this one man, Saul. Right? God begins to use him. Now we come to the Philippian testimony. The Philippian testimony in Acts chapter 16. Right? Lydia gets saved. A jailer gets saved. Families get saved. And a church gets started. And the gospel is progressing. And this is just through the testimony of Paul. Then you go, not only do we have that, we have a prison testimony in Acts chapter 28 in verse number 24. Paul's put in prison in Rome. He's under house arrest, right? And guess what? Hey, no, go there. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Because once again, Paul is bound. He's not in chains, but he's in confinement in Acts chapter 28. And check this out. Acts chapter 28. Look at the last verse of the Gospel of Acts. All right? The last verse of the book of Acts. Verse 30 and 32. 30 and 31. Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He's in prison. And you know what he's got? He's got a ministry going on. And they're coming in. People are coming in. You read Acts chapter 28. They're coming in. The Jewish people are coming in. They're saying, hey, we've heard about you. We want to hear more. And guess what it says in verse number 24? And some believed the things which were spoken. Yeah, there were some. It says, yeah, and some believed not. Once again, it's all about perspective. You can get discouraged thinking, hey, you know what? I gave out a lot of tracts. No one read one. No. Hey, listen, look on the good side, right? I don't care how many tracts I've given out that were rejected or cast aside or given back. What I rejoice in is the ones that took it and got saved. Amen. Amen. It's all about perspective, folks. Paul says, I'm in Rome. I'm in a hired house. And guess what? No man's forbidding people from coming and hearing the gospel. He says, I got my personal testimony. I've got the testimony of the people of Philippi. I've got a prison testimony. But when you go back to the book of Philippians, you know, God had told him, he said, Paul, you're going to go and you're going to reach kings and people in high places. Philippians chapter 1, he sees it happening. Because look what it says. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. He says, there's a prominent testimony of the gospel. The gospel is reaching to the highest places in government. He says, in all the palace. They've got me bound. I'm in chains. And the gospel is going to the most prominent places. He says, but there's a peripheral testimony. Not only in all the palace, but in all of the places. You know who he's speaking about there? He's speaking about the prison guards. The men that have been with him. The men that have taken... You know, you imagine these guys? They got to hang out and watch Paul and guard Paul, right? And guess what? Every day they had to come to church and hear the gospel, right? Every day they had to sit under a tent meeting. Every day they had to go to an evangelistic service. Honey, I got to get up to work. Where do you work? Well, I work down the local church. What? Yeah, I'm going to another evangelistic meeting. Yeah, I'm going to another gospel service. Well, what do you mean? Well, I've got to go guard that guy, Paul, again. And I know what's going to happen. He's going to smile. He's going to rejoice. We're going to have a song service. Then he's going to preach the gospel. And then he's going to give an invitation. And you know what? One day, some of those guys came back home. And their wife said, hey, honey, what happened? Well, you know, I went to that gospel service again. Heard that guy sing, saw him smile. Heard him preach, and guess what? I got born again. As Paul says, the gospel is going to the palace in all of the places. And he says, it's a powerful testimony. He says, it's a powerful testimony. Because look what he says. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And he says, you know what? There's more people sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel. Oh, yeah, he gets into it in the next few verses and says maybe their motivations aren't right. Paul says, but you know what? The gospel's going even more. It's powerful because God says it can't be stopped. And it's a progressing testimony because in verse number 12, he says, unto the furtherance of the gospel. You know why? Because Jesus Christ said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep saving. And so, listen, you know what? Paul's bound by men, but he's free in Christ. And you know what? I've read this and I've studied it. I've meditated this. And you know what? There's a gospel praise that cannot be bound. There's a gospel promise that cannot be bound. And there's a gospel progress that cannot be bound. So I said to myself this week, you know what? By God's grace, I am not going to be distracted this year. I am not going to be delayed. I am not going to be discouraged. And I am not going to be defeated. I'm just going to keep growing in the gospel personally. I'm going to keep going with the gospel personally. And I'm going to keep glowing in the gospel personally, right? Until Jesus comes. You know, I gave a title for 2022 already on Wednesday night about looking for great things for God to do. You know, I got another title for 2000. This is the title of my message for 2022. 2022, let it be the year of the gospel surge. Everybody talking about the surge, right? And waiting for the surge to be over. Well, you know what? There's one surge that isn't going to be over until Jesus Christ comes, and it's called the gospel. So when someone comes up to you and mentions the word surge, just use it. Use it as an introduction and say, yeah, well, let me tell you about a greater surge. What do you mean a greater surge? Yeah, surge of the gospel. That the gospel is still going forth and more people, listen, instead of talking about more people getting sick, let's talk about more people getting saved. Amen? Let's pray and say, Lord, we want 2022 to be the year of the gospel surge. That the gospel would go forth in greater power and more people would be saved. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, thank you that we can read the testimony of Paul's perspective about life and the gospel and the praise and the promise and the power and the progression of the gospel. Lord, that men can be bound in an earthly fashion, but we're free in Christ. And the things of Christ and the things of God cannot be bound. And Lord, we rejoice. We thank you. Lord, may this be a year of the surge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that folks would continue to be saved for your glory through Jesus Christ. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.